Oh, Experience a new life and a new birth. Amen. So we thank God. Amen. When we thank God, we need you and we worship you. And we love him. Amen. And it refreshes. Amen. It is a refreshing in worship. Amen. And it allows you, amen, to get rejuvenated and strengthened. Amen. To be able to go on in the name of the Lord. Amen. We'll read together on invocational Psalm 24. And it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he has founded upon the sea and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor swore deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift him up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him.
Father, our God, and once again, we humble and bow before your throne of mercy and grace this morning. We thank you for the new mercies of this day, God. We thank you for your loving kindness and your faithfulness. We thank you, God, for who you are and what you are in all of our lives. For truly you are an awesome God. You're a mighty God. You're a great God. We thank you for this branch of Zion, Colorado Baptist Church. We thank you for our pastor and first lady. God, we just thank you for family, oh God. We thank you for everything, oh God. Because we know that every good and perfect gift comes down from above from you, God. And so, Father, we thank you this morning, and we bless your name this morning, Father God. Oh, God, we pray this morning, Father God, for mankind everywhere, God. We pray this morning for our pastor. We pray this morning that you will gird him up on every convenient side, prop him up where he's weak. Build him up, God, raise him, torn down, and strengthen him in every area of his life that he needs to be strengthened in, Father God. Bless this going out, bless this coming in. We pray for our first lady today, God. Continue to bless her and keep her, God. Continue to strengthen her, Father God. We pray, oh God, for the entire K-Sun family. Oh God, we pray this morning for families that are near and far, oh God. We pray this morning for those, oh God, that are in hospitals and nursing facilities this morning and assisted living places, oh God. We ask that your hand of mercy, oh God, would touch, heal, and deliver, oh God, this morning, Father God. Lay your hands on your people this morning, Father God. We need you, Father God. We cannot make it without you on this journey called life, Father God. And so, Father, we humbly bow before you this morning, Father, thanking you, oh God, with the fruit of our lips, Father God. Oh God, we come with an attitude of gratitude this morning because we're so grateful to you, Father God, for everything that you have done in our lives, Father God. Have your way, oh God, in our lives, Father God. Allow your will to be done in all of our lives, Father God. Oh God, bless your people everywhere this morning, Father God. Oh God, we're leaning and depending on you, Father God. And we thank you, Father God, for the presence and the power of your Holy Spirit, oh God, that leads us and guides us and seals us until the day of redemption, Father God. We thank you this morning for your word, oh God, because your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Father God. Thank you for the direction that your word gives us each and every day, Father God. Father, we love you and we adore you, oh God, and we just thank you, Father God. We come, Father God, under your mighty hand this morning, Father God, asking for your protection, Father God, asking, Father God, that you will continue to shield us, Father God. Father God, we thank you this morning, and we bless your name, Father God. We pray for those that are bereaved this morning. Every bereaved family, we lift up to you this morning that we know it, that we don't even know of, Father God. And Father God, we just thank you, Father God, this morning, Father God, because if it had not been for you on our side, where would we be, Father God? And so, Father God, we come this morning saying hallelujah to your name, Father God, because you have been so good this morning. You've been so kind, Father God. You've been so gentle, Father God, with us, Father God. We thank you, oh God, for being children of God. We thank you for being sons and daughters of you, Father God. We thank you for using us mightily in your service for King of Field, and Father God. We thank you this morning, Father God, for being a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think, Father God, according to the power that works within us, Father God. And that power is the power of the Holy Spirit, Father God. So, Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will continue to use us, Father God, as your servants, Father God. Father God, we need you and we adore you, and we thank you for this opportunity. And we ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. Thank God for the power of prayer. Amen. God is continuing to do in all of our lives. We know, amen, and we can't make it without God. Amen.
Amen.
Continue to give him honor and glory and praise today for all that he has done and continues to do. Amen.
Amen.
Him, amen. And I want to sing with y'all this morning, amen. And, so many hymns that you want to sing around Communion Sunday, amen. So we want to go to number 79, and it's entitled At the Cross. And the words, the first verse says, "Alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my sovereign die, when he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day." Y'all remember that one?
Yeah.
Amen. That one of oldie was good. Amen. Church be rocking, amen. Folks remember where they first saw the light. Even when you first saw the light, Lord have mercy. We're going to sing to the glory of God, amen. And did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. Was it for Christ that I am the incorruptible tree?
Planted my feet on a solid rock.
pain. I'm here today. I'm happy today. Because what the Lord did on Calvary cross, on my head, on a hill far away, sitting old, rugged cross, the emblem of suffering shame. It was there that for a world of lost sinners, see, I was lost on my way to hell, on the way to a burning hell. But it was there that the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain at the cross. That's why you can rejoice when the old world is upside down. Because you know that your Savior is my Savior. Amen. Has made a way out of nowhere. Have I got a witness this morning? Somebody say, down to the years. He's made a way. Somebody said, out of nowhere. Have I got one witness today? Somebody say, down to the years. God has stood by me. Have I got a witness today? Down through the years. God has opened doors and no man can close. Have I got a witness down through the years? God has been my doctor. Have I got a witness down through the years? God has been my healer.
I thank God for the cross.
Yeah.
thank you because he was the medicine for my soul. Nothing I could do. I have nothing to give but myself. And these 77 years, I thank God. My heart is just overjoyed with Jesus' joy and glory. He's so many of my world makers. He's in my strength and he's in my
come on,
man. He's in my feeling.
Yeah.
He's in everything to me. He's in my father. He's in that mother.
Yeah.
He even been a husband.
Yeah.
Okay. And I thank you to know Jesus. Because you never failed me. You was always with me. Even when I left you, you still was with me. So I love you today, and I give you glory.
Yeah.
I give you honor, and I give you praise because of who you are and what you continue to be. Everything is all I need to you. Thank you for blessing me with my son, and grandsons, and daughter-in-law, sisters and brothers, and thank you, Pastor K-Son, First Lady K-Son, Holy God, Dr. Jones. Thank God for the people that you have put in my life
Amen.
To continue to bless,
Amen.
Continue to just make a way.
Hallelujah.
God's been so good unto me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I give him glory today. Thank you for allowing me to have this time just to talk about the goodness of the Lord.
Because
truly he's been mighty good unto me.
Yeah.
And I thank him, I bless him and I praise him. I say hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for the beauty and the holiness of this day.
Because
this is the day, hallelujah, Jesus, that thou hast made.
Yeah.
And I will rejoice in it when you bless. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Down to the knees.
Come on, man.
The Lord's been good to me.
Thank you, Lord.
Down to the Lord, be good to me.
Down to the years, the Lord's been good to me.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank God for bringing us back here once again. Amen. Yeah, I know a lot has happened. Thank God for keeping prepared.
Thank
you. It's been 3 weeks. It's been like 3 weeks. 3 weeks. Glad that they're doing well. Amen. I wish we just believe that. Happy birthday.
Amen.
Just thank God for all his many blessings that's been going on in 2024. So it's been 1 month, but a lot of good has happened.
Amen.
So I thank God for that. Thank God for my wife.
Amen.
Pray for her healing. And pray that we have a great service. And bring us back again once again for another week.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen. Your testimony this morning. And we got another one back here.
Amen. Amen. Good morning. It's been 1 month since I was hard.
Say that again. Say that again. Oh, hell.
Exactly what he's going to do. And he's going
going to continue to keep blessing us as we bless others.
Amen.
And reach out. Remember to call somebody, tell them that you love them, or just say hi, how you doing? And also, you know, I was sitting here, and I was thinking to myself, you know, people love to receive cards, too. So we, you know, send a little card saying, oh, thinking of you. You know, nothing big and fancy, just knowing that you're thinking of me. That's enough, just to know that you're thinking of me and have me on your mind. The same with the Lord. He's thinking of us, and he always have us on his mind. And I just pray that everyone have a blessed week. I'm thinking of you. I love you, and I have you on my mind.
Amen.
And may the Lord bless you this week. You're going in, and you're going in, and you're coming out.
Amen.
You all have a blessed week. I'm sending out air hugs and kisses. Love you all.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, First Lady. Amen. Thank you, someone on the line this morning, and a testimony. Go to our phone line. If someone has a testimony this morning, I'm going to go to our first caller. Last 4 digits, 1718. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Heart of God Baptist Church, Pastor and First Lady. I want to thank God this morning for waking me up. And I thank God that I'm in my right mind. I thank God, for this is the day that he has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You have some good days, you have some bad days. But I thank God that he's sitting over top of all of us, blessing us each and every day. I pray that God give us all a good, clean heart to love him, love thy neighbor, and love him. Lord, I thank you this morning. It's been a rough week for me. I have friends and neighbors dying all around me. But I'm still here, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, I say thank you this morning. I thank
Amen.
You all. You all be blessed. Be good to each other. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning,
Pastor and Lady.
Good morning.
God bless you. I thank God for all of you, for all of your prayers and your faithfulness. I guess I'm overwhelmed to know that God has kept me. He ordered my steps in his way. Showing me how to walk, taught me how to talk. This is anointing. I pray, please, order my steps. In your word. For some reason this morning, I'm truly filled up. I don't know. I guess it's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I used to ask my mother sometimes when I was a little girl, and after Sunday school and church, well, I feel like I want to cry. Well, I feel like I want to jump up. And then I don't. She says, Satan got you. She says, you got to get up. Do what God is leading to do. So I guess I've always been a little shy. But with my experience with you all and Heart of God, I'm glad I'm able to say thank you, Lord. Thank
Amen.
You, God. Thank you for all you've done for me. Thank
Amen.
You for the circle and the people that are in my life today.
Yeah.
Just keep me pressing. Just keep me pressing.
Yeah.
Every praise to our God.
Amen.
Every praise to our God. I thank you all, and I love you. Have a blessed Sunday and a blessed week. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. We go to our next worshiper. Our last 7611. Good morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. It's so good to hear to know that God has brought me such a long way and give me a second chance to look back at the life that I come through. I'm so glad I make the devil mad when he tries to hurt me and do things, and God put his hand on my head and touched my eyes open and said, get up, church, it's time to go. Let's go to church. All right, Father, I understand you always. I love to make the devil mad when I call God's name. So thank you, Father, it's been so good to me. And give me a hard chance to look back at life and come through you, Father. I know I'm dealing with the things I deal with, but I'm still here. You let me stay. I'm so glad that you give me the second chance to stay above this ground and praise your holy name. I'm so thankful that you gave me a second chance. I said, thank you, Father, for being so good to us. In your blessed holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for your testimony this morning. Let's give a shout out to the wife we see on the line, all the rest of our family and friends that are continuing, amen, to dial in and listen in. It's truly a blessing, amen, to gather together one more time, amen. We're excited about the word of God as usual today. Amen. Why are we so excited about God and God's word? And it's simply because there's power in the word of God. There's power there. There is deliverance to the captive. Amen. And the word of God is true, and everybody else is telling a lie. Can we keep it that simple? Amen. Keep it that simple. God is true, and everybody else is telling a lie.
Yes, true.
We're excited about what God's word has done in our lives. Mentor and teach young men. Oftentimes, you know, I come study the book of Proverbs, study the gospel, get into the word. That's where you grow. That's where you become. A godly man, amen. And I thank God for the godly men and women in all of our lives that have nurtured us in the word, amen. And truth be known, amen, if it wasn't for that guidance in the word from either a relative or a parent or a mentor, amen, we wouldn't be able to survive in this world. And that is what the enemy does not want you to get. He doesn't want you to get that word. He doesn't want you to get that foundation. He doesn't want you to get those roots that actually are digging down into the soil. And then when they dig down into the soil, the word of God, that's like a stream that continues to nourish. And even when it gets to the place where it's dry in your area, or it's desert in your area, or it's a season of toughness in your area, those roots that have been dug down deep, they have the ability, Reverend Lindsay, to track over to that stream, whatever, and underneath the ground, because it's been rooted, amen, and grounded, amen, it can draw, amen, strength, and folks don't even know you get it. Amen. Not unless you know God for yourself. How did you make it through? How did he make it through? Because they are like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. In other words, how do they keep doing it? How do they keep being prosperous? How do they keep doing the things of God? It's because we're like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That we have roots that have been planted from even when we were in our mother's womb, amen.
that they talk to us about God. They sing the praises of God, that they had us in the place where the Holy Spirit was. Amen. And so that has been in you and with you and available to you from your existence. Amen. And because of that, amen, you have the ability to weather the storm. Amen. It's nothing that you and I do on our own. But it's nothing but the provision of God. Amen. He has this great provision that he provides to us day by day. That's why we can say, this is the day that the Lord has made, that we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And so when you get into a day where it's a little rough, draw on the Lord. Amen. He'll give you exactly what you need. Amen. Because he has said in his word, amen, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And many of you, amen, have called on the name of the Lord. Somebody said, I called on the name of the Lord all night long. Amen. And somebody said he said that weeping may endure for a night. Sometimes the night is a little longer than we want it to be. But joy came in the morning. Amen. Sometimes up, sometimes down. Sometimes level to the ground. Songwriter said, I've had some good days, I've had some bad days, I've had some weary days, I've had some hills to climb. But all of my what? Good days outweigh my what? Bad days. And I won't what? Complain. Why? Because God has been what? Good to me.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
Better than the whole world what? Could ever be.
That's right.
That's what I love about the word of God, because when you have the word of God, and I'm going to meddle a little bit, when you have the word of God as a man of God, Lord have mercy. I was telling this in the study, amen. When you were raised in the word of God, amen, you're not going to come out to be no girly man. I'm just saying, and I know that's not a word in Webster's dictionary, amen, girly man, amen, but the word of God, and I'm going to read this to you so you can see it for yourself, amen, that I'm not just making this thing up, amen, but the word of God tells us how that you can be a prosperous man. And in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the what? Ungodly, nor standeth in the way of what? Sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the what? Scornful, but his delight is in the what? Law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate what? Day and night. Right? See, this is the man of God, what the man of God needs to do. He needs to know what? Where he walks. He needs to know where he stands. And he needs to know where he sits. And I'm going to meddle a little bit more on Dr. Lindsay. Amen. So if you are in the time frame in your life where you're looking for a man, and he's walking in the counsel of the ungodly, you need to walk away from him. Is he standing in the way of sinners? You don't need to stand with him. And if he's sitting in the seat of the scornful, amen, you need to not sit there. Look at somebody and say, run as fast as you can, as far as you can, away from that man. He should be delighting in the law of the Lord, and in his law he should meditate day and night. In other words, you need to have a man that's going to know that he's a man, and because he knows that he's a man, he needs to stay in the word of God
so that he can be a godly what? Man. Have I got a week? In other words, a man is going to be a man, except if he has the word of God, then he's going to be a godly man. See, there's a difference between being a man and a godly man. Lord have mercy. And if you want somebody that's going to be like verse 3, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of what? Water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his what? Season. His leaf also shall not what? Wither. And whatsoever he doeth, what? Shall prosper. If you want a godly man like that, that's always going to prosper in every season, then they need to be in the word of God. And that's why I said, if they're walking in the wrong place, if they're standing in the wrong place, and they're sitting in the wrong place, you need to run as fast as you can away from that what? Man. I'm not going to meddle no more in that. Amen. But when you understand, amen, that the opposite of that is verse 4. And it says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And it goes on to surmise in verse 5, it says, therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Why? Because God knows the difference between just a man and a godly man. In verse 6, it says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous.
Yeah.
But the way of the ungodly shall what? This thought I go to the word of God and say, we're looking for some godly men, Lord have mercy, amen, to lead us in the way of God, amen, and go to the Gospel of Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, 21st chapter, 22nd chapter, the word of God allows us know that there are some things that will happen or are happening in this world, amen, that the God that we serve has put in his word to let us know that it's going to be all right, amen, and that you don't have to worry and that you don't have to be fretful, that you don't have to be fearful because God is still in control. And I was laughing to myself while we were out of town recently, amen, about the weather. Anybody experienced the weather in this area? Where in the middle of January, where the temperature's usually below freezing this time of year, that it was in excess of 80 degrees. Did anybody experience that? And if you have been in tune with the goings on in the Middle East, amen, in areas of Israel, and areas around Israel, amen, that the city, amen, was overwhelmed in October, early October, amen, and many of the people were killed and taken hostage, amen. And so this would be easy for the believers of God to say, well, this is predicting that the end of the world is happening right now. But God wants us to let us know this is just the beginning. That we shouldn't be upset and taken aback and get so upset and frustrated about things that are going on with the news and the weather, but we should continue to watch and pray and see how God is allowing his word to be fulfilled and these things to be developed. And how that God is playing a role and how Satan is playing a role as we march toward, amen, the eventual fulfilling of prophecy that Jesus will crack the sky and come back and redeem the church into himself. But if you just constantly look at the things that are around you with your physical eye, you would have a tendency to get depressed, get anxiety, to get worried, a bit upset, to be confused and mad with man. But God says all of this has to be fulfilled, amen, so that prophecy will be fulfilled. And so we're living in a world, amen, where we have to, by faith, hold on to God and God's word, and we have to encourage each other, amen, to continue to do the things of God in spite of what's going on in our world. So, well, Pastor, that's easier said than done. But all we have to do is look at a man. There was a man, Lord have mercy, in chapter 21 and chapter 22, it was a man. And he just did one simple thing. It was really crazy that he did one simple thing. And his one simple thing that he did, amen, paved the way, amen, for Jesus, amen, to go before his persecutors, to be persecuted, to be tried, to be convicted, to be beaten, to be laid upon burden, to be put on a cross on Calvary's hill, to shed his blood, to give up the ghost, and ultimately, amen, be resurrected. But all along the way, amen, to the plan of his death, burial, and resurrection, God used people, simple, ordinary people, to continue the journey, amen? And so while I'm saying this is in the midst of the weather changing, in the midst of the wars and the rumors of war, in the midst of the trials and the tribulations, the ups and the downs, all God is looking for you to do is do that simple thing that he's asked you, he's called you, he's purposed you, he's designed you to do, amen? And that's what God is asking you to do and to do well. But the enemy wants to confuse you. The enemy wants to confound you. The enemy wants to keep you from doing your job. Amen? He wants to burden you with things that you shouldn't be burdened with. He wants to confuse you. He wants to distract you. Amen? From doing that one or two simple little things that God has asked you to do on a regular basis. Amen? That God wants to use you to serve him on a regular basis. One or two simple, minor little things in the sight of the grand scheme of things. But the enemy wants you to go a different way. Amen. Doesn't want you to be blessed. Doesn't want you to be used. But God says, look at my word, and there's a simple thing in your life that I want you to do. But if you don't know the word, amen, you'll be distracted. You'll be led astray. You'll be going this way and that way, doing the things of man instead of doing the things of God. Amen. Blaming everybody and anything and everybody else, amen, except for yourself. The only way we're going to raise godly men and godly women is if they get into the word of God. Because the word of God will inform you about your situation or your circumstance and how to handle it. The word of God will inform you about your situation, your circumstance, and how to handle it. The word of God will inform you about your situation and circumstance and how to handle it. Y'all say that with me. The word of God will inform you about your situation and circumstance and how to handle it. The word of God will inform you about your situation and circumstance and how to handle it. One more time. The word of God will inform you about your situation, your circumstance, and how to handle it. And every day we have what? Situations, what? And circumstances. Amen? And we look to God on how to what? Handle the situation. It will tell, God's word will tell you about that situation and circumstance, and he'll tell you what? How to handle. But we need to know what? The word of God. Now there's time in your study to read chapters 21 and chapters 22. But it's a time where Jesus was betrayed by the very men that he called, amen, to be his disciples. And two of them, Dr. Lindsay, were under the spotlight of Satan. So out of all the men in that area, amen, two of them, amen, were under the attack, under the eye of Satan, to try to keep Jesus from fulfilling what? The prophecy or the word of God. These were the folks, amen, that were right next to Jesus that were being attacked by the enemy. And so the reason why you need to turn to God's word, The reason why we need to get God's understanding of the situation or circumstance so we can handle it in a godly way, amen, is because the enemy doesn't want you to do it. The enemy doesn't want you to be able to carry out that one simple thing that God has asked you to do. Amen. He doesn't want you to do it because he knows, amen, if you do that, what will happen is more people, amen, will hear the word of God and more people will get saved. Let's see what happens. And I'm going to just read down a little bit in chapter 21, verse 25. Luke 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts filled with them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be what? Shaken. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. Listen, when you start thinking the complexity, understand, amen, that God is about to come. In verse 29, and he spake to them a parable, behold, a fig tree, all trees. When they now shoot forth, ye shall know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see the things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you that this generation shall not pass away till it be fulfilled. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words what, shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged and surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. In other words, don't get caught up and distressed about what comes. For the snare shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, and in the night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount Olives. And the people came early in the morning to hear him in the temple for to hear him. See, God has put his word here, Dr. Sykes, amen. For it's not to get caught up in the things that are terrifying to us. Not to get caught up, amen, in the nations that are being war-torn. If you go back to verse 17, it says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not an hair of your head perish. In your patience possesses ye your soul. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee into the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein. For these are the days of the vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be desolate, led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And so we see these signs all around us right now. And so God has given us this word so when these things happen and you see them, that you're not overtaken and that you're not taken back, that you're not afraid, that you're not in distress, but you understand that the time of God's wrath is nigh. The time of the hand of grace that is extended, amen, that you're saved by grace through faith, is going to be withdrawn, and the tribulation period is going to come in. And those who have not received God's grace, amen, will endure suffering, amen, on a larger scale than this. And so what God is wanting us to remain right now in this period, this dispensation of grace, is to understand the time is coming. We need to watch and pray, and we need to continue to do that thing that God has called us to do. Well, you say, well, Pastor, what is it that God has called us to do? He said, you need to watch and you need to pray. In other words, you need to be conscious of the times. How can you be conscious of the times of what's going on? It's through the Word of God, because the Word of God will inform you about your situation and circumstance. Amen? And it will tell you how to handle it. But if you are not informed about your situation and circumstances, don't know how to deal with it, you'll get caught up with the false prophets. You'll get caught up with the naysayers. You'll get caught up with the people that will turn your direction away from God and to the things of the world. That's why it's important for us to understand that we need to be in a place where we can teach, where we can learn the Word of God, because the signs of the times are coming very fast. Y'all got a witness? If you look at the news, if you look on cable and whatever social media you get, it seems like there's always a war. There's always something getting torn. Jerusalem has had people come in and take people and take them hostages, just like the Word of God said. But I would surmise to you today, Dr. Sykes, there are people in this world that don't know that the Word of God talks about this. The Word of God explains to them. And God is looking for us to do our part. Verse 22, chapter 22. Now the Feast of the Unleavened Bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. What they were doing as the first covenant was with the blood of lambs and goats that Moses instituted. And the chief priests and the scribes sought out how they might kill him, Dr. Linton, for they feared the people. Because the people, like we saw in that last verse, they were coming to hear the Word of God. Oh, have mercy. In verse 36, and all the people came early in the morning to hear to the temple to hear him. They were coming to hear the Word of God. They were coming to hear the truth. They were coming to hear about the coming Messiah. They were coming to get a word from the Lord. And those that were in power politically, those that were in power religiously, because they were drunk on power, didn't want the Messiah to come, didn't want deliverance to come, didn't want people to come, because they were drunk on their political and religious power that they didn't want to relinquish it. So they said, to heck with the people, we got to find a way to get rid of this man called Jesus. And if there's anybody, amen, that he has discipled, amen, you and me, so many other born-again believers in Christ, amen, that are making a difference in teaching and preaching and day and night and giving people the word, the enemy will try to keep us from doing it. Listen to me now, amen. There's always going to be a resistance to your preaching, a resistance to your teaching, a resistance to you living the Word of God. Why? Because the enemy and those that follow him are drunk on power. They want to remain in power, but they don't want to relinquish it so that you can understand that true is the living God that has all power in his hands. And that will be a God that will be their Jehovah Jireh, their provider, and that will provide them everything they need so they don't have to work for anything, because God will provide it, that they want to continue to turn to them, amen, instead of turning to God. And so they are terrified that they'll lose their power. So what does it say? The chief priests and scribes saw how they might kill him, but they feared what? The people. People would know the truth, and the truth would make them free, and the truth would cause them to turn to God instead of turning to man, and their position of power and authority would be diminished. and that they would no longer, amen, have this power and authority, but people would look to God to lead them, look to God to guide them, look to God for their deliverance. And then in verse 3, here comes the prince of the power of the air. And it says, then Satan did what? Entered into who? Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. And in other words, amen, we don't understand the spiritual battle that's going on, amen. But the spiritual battle is that Satan, amen, desires to sift everyone that will follow God as weak. So that you and I would have the substance, wouldn't have the power, would have the understanding, the knowledge, the spirit to be able to do the things and carry out the things of God. He's like an entity, amen, that doesn't want us, amen, to receive the power of God, to do the things of God, that God's will be done. Satan is like a lion waiting outside your door. Amen? But this is what I like about God, is that God has all power. Satan may have some power, but God has all power. Amen? And if, Lord have mercy, we make the decision to follow God, amen, God, amen, will protect us. God will give us an anointing, give us an authority, give us the power to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's why the New Testament writer Paul says, put on the whole armor, what, of God, that you might be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what, stand the most. Why? Because the enemy is crouching at your door, trying to take you out. But nobody got no fear there. They got fear of the world that they can see with their five senses. They're not spiritually aware, amen, that their five senses, amen, is just what is available to them, amen, naturally, but supernaturally, there's some other things that are going on around them. So, verse 4 says, and when he went his way and communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. See, Judas was concerned about doing things his way and not about doing things God's way. That's why I talked about that the man and the girly man and God man, godly man earlier. Is that when your man or your woman is concerned about doing things God's way, it makes a difference in the relationship between you and them and their God. When you're concerned about doing it God's way, it doesn't open the door for Satan to come in and jack it up. Nobody goes into a relationship thinking, well, it's going to be bad or we want it to be bad. Everybody enters into a relationship wanting it to be good. Amen? That's just real. Amen? But if you're not concerned about the things of God and that person's not concerned about the things of God, amen, what's going to happen is you guys leave the door open for the ungodly to come in. Am I going to win? Amen. And when the ungodly comes in, amen, he's going to pry on the weakness of those that don't know the word of God, amen. And next thing you know, you're going to be fighting and bickering and arguing and acting like y'all ain't in love no more. Amen. He's going to sit down and pluck your button, pluck his button, pluck her button, his button. He's going to sit down across his leg, grab some popcorn, stir up some mess, amen, and watch y'all go at each other. And then once y'all getting good and mad at each other, amen, snot running, tears running, poke, cutting people out, putting hands on people, he's going to pick up and say, my work is done here, and he's on out to what? The door. And you still going on, fussing, fighting, mad as I don't know what, amen. And he done gone on about his business. Because you didn't know the word of God, that you didn't apply the word of God, that you left the door open. Y'all left the door open to the ungodly. And so Judas left the door open to Satan. And it says in verse 5, Dr. Lindsay, and they were glad in covenant to give him money. So He's going to give you some money. You're going to be empowered. You're going to go in there and put the okie dokie on Jesus, and we're going to take it, and it's going to be all right. Because in Judas' mind, he thought he was doing the right thing, so he took the money and betrayed Jesus. Now, how in the world is that going to be right? But he was interested in doing it his way instead of doing it what? God's way. And when you're interested in doing it your way instead of God's way, you leave a door open for the enemy to come in and destroy your life. What happened? Verse 6, and he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. He's going to be sneaky. Looking, got his money. Going to do it this way, his way. Going to force his way, make God do it his way. He didn't perform no miracle. He didn't deliver nobody. He didn't raise nobody from the dead. But he's going to do it his way because he knows more what in his mind than what? God. That's what Satan pimped on Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He said, God doesn't want you to be like him. God knows that in the day you eat of that tree of knowledge and good and evil, you'll be like him. And God don't want you to be like him. So God is lying to you and telling you that if you eat of that tree of knowledge and good and evil, you surely will die. He just don't want you to be like him. Satan comes in, enters into Judas because Judas had the what? The door open. And says that God doesn't want you, amen, to do like him and have power like him, but we'll give money, you can betray him, and we'll take care of that thing. And he left the door open. It destroyed him and his life. Verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, and when Passover must be killed, he sent Peter and John, saying, go and prepare the Passover that we may eat. And this is where his character comes in. Dr. Sykes, it blew me away. God said, I want you to go prepare. God's going to do the work. But I want you to go and prepare. Amen? It's like God's going to save who he desires to save, but we are who are his disciples, the body of Christ. We have to prepare for God to what? Save. But Satan, Lord have mercy, doesn't want us to carry out our assignment to prepare, amen, so that God can save. He wants to distract us. He wants to hoodwink us. He wants to bamboozle us. He wants to scare us into doing our thing and leaving the door open for Satan. Judas left the door open. Satan came in. But God says, let's read what he says. Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. In verse 9, he says, and they said unto him, where will thou that we prepare? Asking God, well, tell me how to do it. Remember what we talked about earlier? God will tell you about your situation and circumstance, how to have it. Amen. He knows about your situation and circumstance, and he'll tell you about your situation and circumstance and how to handle it. They asked God, right? They didn't leave the door open for Satan to tell them. They asked Jesus. In verse 10, he says, and he said unto them, behold, when ye are entered into the city, when you enter into the city, what does he say? There shall a man meet you bearing what? A pitcher of what? Water. Follow him to the house where he entered in. Mm-hmm. A pitcher in the NIV, I think it says a jar. So simply, this man simply played his role of carrying a pitcher or a jar of water, and he was carried in obedience to God, and his disciples was being obedient to God, and they didn't question God and said, God, what do you mean somebody with a jar or a pitcher? What do you mean? And look what he said in verse 11, and you shall say unto the good man of the house, the master said unto thee, Where is the good chamberman where I shall eat and pass over with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room, furnished there, make ready. In verse 13, he said, what? And they went, Dr. Lindsay, and found as what? He had said unto them, and they made ready to pass. God's not asking us to perform miracles. God's asking us just to carry a little bit of water in a jar. And when's the last time, come on now, you carried a glass or a jar of water in a pitcher? And somebody asked you, what in the world are you carrying that jar of water for the pitcher of water for? And what we need to do is we need to tell somebody it's because God, come on, told me to carry the jar of water into the pitcher and to prepare for him to enter into the what? The upper room. He didn't ask you to do any backflips, cartwheels, or somersaults. All he's asking you to do is do the simple thing of obeying him and carrying what? Just a jar of water. So that somebody can see and ask you and follow out what God has told them to do. But the problem is, we don't want to carry no jars of water. We don't want to carry, we don't want to do it. It don't make sense. Why am I carrying the water? Why am I carrying the jar? Why? That's our problem, Dr. Lindsay, and we got to know why. But then his disciples asked him, they asked him, where? Have we got a witness? But they didn't ask him what? Why? Why? Because Jesus explained to him, he said, Dad, you'll meet a man in the middle of the street, he said, the middle of the street, in the city, you'll meet, bang, a pitcher of water. All these people, Lord have mercy. And God has the ability to get his will to be performed, that there'll be a place in an upper room, amen, prepared for Jesus to come in and institute, amen, the Lord's Supper. Problem is, we got too many people, amen, that want to leave the door open to the enemy and do it their way instead of God's way. But I would submit to you today, Lord have mercy, that if you would simply become a pitcher or jar of water for Jesus, Lord have mercy, and that you would present that to those that need to get into the place where God can bless them in their lives, in their own personal upper room, that we will be able to see and make a difference in this world. But all we need to understand, amen, is that God sees the beginning and the end at the same time. And that God will give you simple instructions is just to be a person available for him to use. And that's all I'm trying to say this morning, my brothers and sisters, that God doesn't expect us to do all these great cartwheels and somersaults and backflips and perform these miracles after miracles. All God is expecting us to do is to be yielded vessels unto him, that we will be like water in jars, that we will be like water in pitchers, that we will be pitchers of water, that we will be jars of water, that God can point somebody to us and say, go talk to that brother, go talk to that sister, they're a jar or a pitcher of water, and you go and talk to that man or a jar or that pitcher of water, that they will point you to Jesus. Have I got a witness today, and I'm glad to day that somewhere along the way, all of us had somebody that was a jar of water, that was a pitcher of water, that God sent us in that direction. Have I got a witness? And they didn't save us, but they pointed to the man that could save us. Have I got a witness today? It might have been an auntie. It might have been an uncle. It might have been a brother or a mother or a sister, but they were simply a glass of water, a jar of water. They just a pitcher of water that was obedient to God, that didn't leave the door open for Satan to come in and take them off track, but they were simply there to be used by God. And I don't know about you today, but I'm glad today that God still has pitchers of water, that God still has jars of water that will be obedient to God, that God can say, go that way into that city, run into that man, aboard and let them point you to the upper room where Jesus will be able to do the work to save your soul. Have I got a witness today that somewhere along the line you ran into somebody that told you about Jesus? This man's name wasn't even a... All it was a man that knew the way to the upper room. My brothers and sisters, all I'm telling us today is we need to be like the followers of Jesus, that trusted him at his word and behaved in a manner that was pleasing to God and pleasing to his heavenly Father. Have I got a witness today? Some of you have sung the song, amen. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering chain. It was there on that cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was there, was slain. And the refrain says, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my sin rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Oh, for a world that we can point to the cross, that we can be that man, that we can be that woman in that city, that will be that water, that jar, that pitcher, that will point the way to Jesus. And I guarantee you, if God allows them to come in contact with you and you point the way, that God will do the rest. I'm here to tell you, somebody was a jar of water for you. Somebody was a pitcher of water for me. They pointed the way to Jesus. Aren't you glad today that they pointed to the old rugged cross? They didn't point to the man. They didn't point to the woman. They didn't point to the religion. They didn't point to the politics. But they pointed to the man named Jesus that hung and bled on Calvary's cross. At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. We talked about it a little earlier. At the cross, you can get deliverance from sin. At the cross, you can receive the burden rolled away. At the cross, you can understand that you were dead in sin, separated from God, but because of God giving his only begotten son. God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Have I got a witness today that God is the one that will save your soul, that God is the one that will make you whole, that God will give you a spirit and you can be transformed in his image? He said, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now that your mind's been changed, now that your heart's been fixed, now that the spirit of God is on the inside, you don't have to worry about being first or last in the kingdom. His disciples were worried about where I'm going to sit, where I'm going to sit. But Jesus said the greatest in the kingdom is the one that is the servant. Jesus said, I came to be a servant. Aren't you glad today that Jesus didn't come the first time riding high and mighty, but he came meek and lowly on a donkey, on a ass, on a foal of an ass? Aren't you glad today that he washed his disciples' feet? Aren't you glad today that he paid the price, that he left his home in glory, that he came down through 42 generations? He didn't seem to be anything but a man that was filled with the Spirit. And he lived, he bled, he died just like you and I. But the record declares, because he lived this life of a servant, because he was obedient to his father, the record said they beat him, they stretched him hung him high. They stretched him high. They wondered how that he could endure without saying a mumbling word. Why? Because he trusted in his Father. And that's what we got to do today. We got to trust in God with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path when you understand the situation and the circumstance. And God lets you know what it's all about. And you can humble yourself like Jesus to the will of God. He asked God, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But I'm glad today, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Aren't you glad today that at the cross, where the dearest and best was slain, it was there by faith, you received your sight. And now, somebody said, I'm happy. Why are you happy? Because God saved my soul. Why? Because God made me whole. Why? Because God turned my life around. Why? That I don't have to be big and high and mighty, but I'm okay being a simple glass of water. I'm okay being a pitcher of water, because one day, when Jesus cracks the sky, thank God from mine, I'm going to be seated at the welcome table. Shout, 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 my trouble's over. Why? Because what he did at the cross, what he did when he shed his blood, all of those along the way through that 42 generation became simple pitchers of water, jars of water. They pointed the way to Jesus. They weren't worried about being the greatest in the kingdom, or who was going to sit on the right hand, or who was going to sit on the left. Just simply carry the water. Just simply carry the water. And if you carry the water, God will point them to you, and you can tell them that Jesus has me carrying this water. And if you want to know him, I'll point you the way to Jesus. God says if you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth, you shall be saved. God raised Jesus from the dead. He arose with all power in his hand. If you believe it in your heart and confess it with your mouth, you shall, God's word says you shall be saved. I'm just a vessel with some water. I'm just a vessel with the Holy Spirit being obedient to the word of God. I'm just a vessel. Amen. I'm just carrying some water. Amen. Jesus said to the woman at the well, I'll give you some water to spring up to everlasting life that you'll never have to thirst again. This water, you're going to get thirsty. But that's some Holy Ghost power water that you won't have to thirst again. One man made himself available. His disciples saw him, went to the room that was prepared. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in his body and his blood. Because somebody, just like the one when they entered in during the early part of the week, he said, go get that fold that hands with the fold over there. And they put him on and made his triumphal entry into the city. And they said, Hosanna, Hosanna. On Sunday. So come Friday, they were talking about crucifying. The person that gave away the donkey and the foal was an example of being obedient to God. The person that had the pitcher of water, the jar of water, was an example of being obedient to God, not leaving the door open for Satan to enter in. That's what the problem is. Many people have their door open. Enemy has deceived them doing the simple things of God. And they wonder why they can't get it together. They wonder why things keep happening. The door's open. Satan comes in and does whatever he wants to do. Cast that demon out, leave the door open. Don't fill it with the Holy Spirit. Seven more coming in. But you got to get into the word of God and filled with the word of God, filled with the spirit of God, so that is closed. So you're now obedient to the Word of God, but there's too many people don't go to their daily devotion studying the Word. Don't fellowship with believers. Don't come to Sunday school. Don't go to prayer, sir. Don't pray. Don't come to worship. And you wonder why this world is like that. Because the Word of God is closed to them. And they're listening to what the enemy is telling them, like Adam and Eve and like Judah. They're not listening to the Word of God. And they're not being the people that God has called them to be. So it's incumbent upon us. We need to present ourselves in this world as people that will hold some water in a jar or a pitcher that God can say, go see them, go their way, and they'll point you to God, salvation in Jesus. This is the word of God, that heaven and earth will pass away. But the word of God will what? Not one dot or two will go away. So why wouldn't you think Satan wouldn't want you or someone to eat the word of God? Because he knows in the end, this world, he, his fallen angels, will be cast, what? Into the lake of fire. Hell and death will be cast into the lake of fire. You don't want you to know that. He don't want you to understand that. He wants you to be terrified by man and his religion and his policy. He got people terrified, upset, and sad about politics and religion. What's politics and religion? It's man lying. And he always going to lie. Amen? But when you get the word of God, and you trust God, and his Holy Spirit comes in, he told him, don't even worry about what you got to say. Holy Spirit will tell you, teach you. Bring it back to your memory so you can handle the situation and circumstance. Because I know what it's all about. I know how to catch you long today. It's time for us to be that pitcher of water. It's time for us to be that jar of water. It's time for us to go out. Let people see. Amen? It's time for us to go out and let people see. Amen? We don't have to perform any miracles, but we have to go out. He said he went into the city and there it was, right? We have to be that man, that woman that has that water that they so desperately need. Amen? Amen. So what is the title? What is this title? Amen. The title is Close the Door. Close the Door. Close the Door. So that Satan can't come in. Close the Door. And how do you do it? With the Word of God, Spirit of God. Word of God and the Spirit of God, it comes just like any other thing. If it's easy after, so it came after Judas. Judas opened the door, had the door open. Came after Peter. I got one more thing I need to say. I know God is deep. Hold on. I got one more thing. And he said, and then chapter 22, another step, I gotta say this real quick. Peter was telling Jesus what he was gonna do and what he wanted to do. Verse 31 says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, and he may sift you as wheat. But verse 32. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not. And when thou art converted, in other words, when you turn back to God, strengthen thy brother. That's what I want to share with you. Now for us to strengthen
and get out there and be those jars of pitcher for water. Amen? All right. That's your way. That's your way. That's the place we told people to speak. And that's all right. Let us get ready for our communion service. Read our church covenant. Having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God, receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior and on the possession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we do now in the presence of God, angels, and this assembly, solemnly and joyfully enter the covenant with one another as one body in Christ. Engage, therefore, by the need of the Holy Spirit to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to promote its prosperity and spirituality, to sustain its worship, ordinance, and discipline, and doctrine, to contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of the ministry, the expenses of the church, relief for the poor, and the spread of the gospel to all nations. And also engage and maintain families in secret devotion, to religiously educate our children, to seek the salvation of our kindred and acquaintances, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealing, based on engagement and exemplary in our deportment, to avoid untimely, backbiting, and excessive anger, to be filled with the Spirit and not drunk with wine, weary and exhausted, and be zealous in efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior, to further engage to watch over one another in brotherly love, to remember each other in prayer, to aid each other in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy and feeling and courtesy and speech, to be slow to take offense, but always ready for reconciliation and mindful of the rules of our Savior to secure it without delay. To move over in the peace path, when we remove from this place, do it as soon as possible. And as some of the church, we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word. Amen. 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 Union those with the things that Jesus was facing on his way to Calvary's cross. And you know, faith provides it on all our folks, amen. May God continue to bless and keep you into that word, close that door for the enemy.